You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
You know, I just finished dinner a little while ago, but I gotta say, what I had for dinner was not as delectable as what one Jennifer Como La Flord had for dinner tonight. By the way, my name is Frank.
Look, I'm all about that immersion life. All about that immersion life.
I'm Frank, and that is Jennifer.
Hey, everybody. And for those at the studio audience wondering, I had myself a margarita, some carne guisada, and a lovely mariachi live band for dinner. Thank you very much.
You ate the band?
look, don't ask questions when I make bad statements, okay? Just let it happen.
Yeah. The Lady Harmony.
Oh, thank you.
The Lady Harmony.
Not to be confused
with those other harmonies. Yeah.
That's true.
The.
Yes.
That's right. Respect.
And a lucky red lipstick today for our viewers.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you. That I made up using an eyeshadow because I couldn't find my actual lucky red lipstick. So whatever.
As you do.
I am not wearing red lipstick.
I'm not either for once.
But we are kind of giddy because we are talking about Selena, the series, part two. It's the Netflix, second installment of the Netflix series. That's the retelling of the life of Tejano singer Selena Quintanilla Perez. The first part of the series that dropped back in December went ahead and chronicled the, I guess, from her early beginnings, childhood, and, you know, her family, you know, touring to little honky tonks and any place that would have them, and eventually becoming a name as a band, and Selena herself as an artist, as an influential artist. And part two now follows like the continuation of her, I don't want to say meteoric rise, but like a very definite, like pretty solid rise to the top. And as you know, the different heights and milestones she was climbing, and also the figure that ended up causing it to end, which was her assassin. Yolanda Saldivar, who was also her business associate.
And also a lot about her love life, a lot about her life with Chris. That was important.
I mean, all aspects of her family life, her marriage, you know, her relationships with music, and really her own sort of personal struggles in terms of, you know, being a woman in the industry, trying to figure out who she was apart from the band and, you know, what she wanted for her career. But before we go on, I want to say, Jen, something happened at the restaurant that you were at tonight. Which restaurant were you at? Really quickly.
So there's this amazing restaurant in Houston. If you ever come to Houston, you need to go to Lopez. It is the place to go for the Mexican food. It is fabulous. Their carne guisada is the best I've ever had. We go there at least once every couple weeks, at least.
Nice. And you said that you heard some Selena.
Yeah. So oddly enough, I mean, this is the week after Cinco de Mayo. So apparently they have a mariachi. Well, not exactly a full mariachi. It was just two instrumentalists, two guitarists and vocalists singing together. And they were just the house band for the evening. And it just so happened that as I'm sitting at the restaurant having dinner with my partner, they played this beautiful rendition of Como la Flor, and the entire restaurant started singing. I kid you not. You can't write this kind of stuff.
No.
You can't write it.
And that just...
My heart.
Yeah, my heart too. That just... because one of the things that I am so consistently surprised about is just how much of an influence she was. I knew who she was. I am from South Texas. I remember when she died because I was a young teen at the time, and back in 1995. And I thought, okay, well, this is native to our part of Texas. I didn't know that there were people like in across the entire state and beyond that were likewise likewise grieving and still to this day hold her up in high, you know, in high regard. I think I mentioned when we reviewed mm-hmm. the first part that even, you know, Gwen Stefani looks up to her as a role model and you know, and other singers, which may or may, you know, kind of pop up in the series.
May or may not have happened.
It actually did. It actually did happen. I found the, because I looked it up. I looked up an article, mm-hmm. and it's an old 2007 interview. Anyways, but yeah, Christian Serratos continues the role of Selena. Gabriel Chavarria plays her brother AB. Ricardo Chavira plays their father Abraham. Naomi Gonzalez plays sister Suzette. Sadie Lopez plays mother Marcella. And of course, Jesse Pose plays Chris Perez. And then, of course, no relation, Natasha Perez plays Yolanda Saldivar. And
I hope she doesn't get death threats.
I really hope she doesn't. You know, no, because I was watching her during this.
People are terrible.
And I was watching during this. I was like, you probably seem like a pretty sweet lady. Like, you probably seem like a pretty,
she
like,
does,
really like a
yeah.
cool chick. Like, I just want to give you a hug. Like, you imagine, like, I hope you all bonded outside of this, you know?
I know. Well, that was just like, that was like an issue with the woman who played Yolanda in the movie.
The wonderful Lupi Ontiveros, who we all miss. She's a great actress. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I imagine so, because people are crazy, like you said.
People are dumb.
But
it's true.
So how did you guys feel about this?
I was a great continuation of the first series, I think. It for me personally, it because I knew enough about Selena to kind of see all the beats they were trying to hit. You know, like,
no pun intended,
you know,
or pun intended.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah. I never do that on purpose. That's the worst part. Anyways, but all, you know, like I said, the marriage to Chris and her family life and how people reacted to her. Like, I kind of knew some of that, but to actually see it played out in more detail than what we saw, like, for example, in the 90s movies and
there was an unauthorized version a few years ago, yeah. Which the family yeah. really decried. We should also mention that the family produced this, Suzette
yes,
and Abraham,
that the
executive produced the series. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really felt that familiar connection in terms of family. I really enjoyed this. It was very hard the last episode. Like, I called my husband down, like, come here and hold my hand. Like, I know it's gonna happen, but come hold my hand.
Yeah.
You know, but that's me. I binged this in a day because, you know, work life schedule, you know, just kind of
turning
through them. And it was not a wasted day for me. So
that's good. Probably a day with the feels at the end of it. Right, Jen?
A day with the feels. Yeah. And like
so
it was so
many
funny.
Feels.
Like, come and hold my hand. And I, like, held his hand like the whole episode. I'm like, it's the 31st. It's
And Jen,
I can't.
Jennifer still has the feels.
I still have the feels. So I'm the interesting background of both being the outsider and the insider of the experience, because I'm from a Navy family, so we bounced around a lot when I was growing up. So when she was at the height of her popularity, I lived in California and I had a babysitter who was a huge Selena fan. Like, I remember she had her CDs, she had her picture up on her wall, she wore her hair like Selena, like that was the thing. So the media that I was, you know, just digesting at the time was a lot of Selena, a lot of it. So I grew up loving her from outside of Texas. And then when I moved to Texas in the late 90s, I moved to Corpus Christi and lived in Corpus Christi until I was through university. So I got it from the insider perspective of living there and seeing where her shop was and driving by it on a daily basis and, you know, being in the community and seeing all of the oil and gas rigs and like all of the sights that you see in the show that make you go, oh, yeah, I've stood there. Oh, yeah, so, I worked down the street from that bar. Oh, yep, I know where that is.
There's the oil refinery again.
Yeah, right? There it is again. Damn, I never thought an oil refinery would be something to wax poetic about, but there we
like
are.
How, like, I guess you kind of answered it, but, like, man, that must have been, like, pretty visceral. Like,
yes, it's an immediate, like, kick in the gut every time you see that. Yes, it's crazy still. Like, I haven't lived in Corpus for over a decade now, and it's still every time I see that, I'm like, oh, there it is. Yeah, so this, I enjoyed this season more than the first season.
Okay.
I will say that for sure.
Okay.
I loved that we got to see more of the internal mechanisms of the movement than we did in the previous season and in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see the whys behind the music a lot more rather than just this is a thing that happened and we're going to wax poetic about it and I'm like, oh, the flower. All right, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, you actually get to see who these people are as people and why the music mattered to them and why what they were writing was important. Like this scene about No Me Queda Más, like that scene in and of itself made the season for me. I'd never heard that story. I didn't know that that's what that song was about. I about cried. And then it was just told so eloquently, like with the one tear and like the subtle shake of his head and then just like the glance out the door and then nothing, like no addressing it, no nothing. Mm-hmm. And then Selena sees it and you see she sees it, but mm-hmm. she doesn't draw attention to it and doesn't make it into this like overblown moment that didn't really happen.
It's just furthering mm-hmm. like her sort of essence and the magic of her essence and
right.
her intuitiveness too, like that,
and how sweet and kind, you know, like no person's perfect obviously, but she I think was like an inherently good person, you know, and that's just makes this all the more tragic. Like if somebody was an asshole, you're like, okay, yeah, but
well, it also makes it really more tragic. What makes it more tragic, it because does. You know, because there's someone, she's someone who literally just radiated goodness.
Right.
Like that was just something that was so inherent in her. And
it
really makes, it really makes it all the more just as much of a tragedy as it is, as it does a celebration, because you're reminded of what we lost. And, you know, you think of somebody like her who would have such a big influence today being around today. And, you know, think of the positivity she could spread on this landscape right now. And
I love that it celebrates the connective tissue between herself and the other members of the band. Mm-hmm. It's rare these days that you get an ensemble that is a pure creative entity where it's not one person writes all the songs and one person always plays the guitar and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There are few groups in history that were a true collaborative element, like Queen. You know, Freddie didn't write all the songs. They all took turns writing songs. And, you know, Freddie might have always been the mouthpiece of them, but he wasn't always singing his own lyrics, but he sang them and meant them anyway.
Right.
And this was one of those groups where anybody in the band could have written a song and she would have been the one to sing it. But there was still that connectivity to it. And I think it was really beautiful the way that they highlighted that really well, I think.
The chemistry between all those actors is really great. And I love what's so interesting about those scenes is that oftentimes she's not the main focus of that. Like she's just in the scene. And it's, I love
she was just an instrument scenes, in some, some aspects.
Well, they become like an ensemble piece of a group of actors in there. I will say, I was not as crazy about part two as I was about part one. And I distilled it down to like three different reasons. The first one is I think all the filler scenes are really tend to show here. Just, you know, like the scene with the pizza rolls, you know, and Suzette breaking her spraining her ankle. And
well, I think that was an important scene because then it showed that she wasn't at the Astrodome. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was the first thing that came to mind, but I think you take that scene out, it wouldn't make that much of a difference, and also went on way too long. But I think that they really wanted to stretch this longer than it probably needed to be. Mm-hmm. I think you could have done this series in like six hearty episodes of an hour, and told her story in a much more fluid way, because there's lots of, I mean, we mentioned there's a scene where she bumps into a young Beyonce. That
it's
was
been
cute.
Talked about a lot.
We don't need. We didn't need,
don't
it.
Need
it. It was cute. Yeah. It was sweet. It
made it's fan it gave service.
Me
all right.
It gave me something to look up. But we don't need it. And I think that there's a lot of those type of scenes littered throughout here that really just interrupted more of the milestones and more of the moments that I felt were really doing homage to Selena. I think another thing I didn't like is that I wish that they hadn't made this Selena. I wish they had made her more decisive than than she came across. I don't know how decisive she was in her real life. I know she was driven and passionate. That's a given. But I feel like she was always sort of questioning something or hesitant in some way to really, you know, push herself more than she was. I really wanted her to have more of a...
ownership or...
Yeah, more ownership. That's exactly the right word. And I don't think that the series did that for their version of Selena.
That's interesting that you say that, because I actually have a very different opinion of that.
I think she eventually does, but I think it took her longer to get there. And I think it's also, again, because of the, you know, we got 9 episodes this season, you know, this for part 2. But yeah. And I think also finally, I think Yolanda came across as too, that was so Annie Wilkes for me. You know, it was so, I think that's when every time that she came on the screen, I think the series kind of lost credibility a little bit. Mm. Like it became too soap opera-ish. Like you see her, like there's a shot that ends an episode where she's like, where everyone's embracing Selena and we're all a happy family, and she's in the corner just like crushing a poster of Selena in the background. Mm-hmm. Just and you know, you see that.
I think she really was crazy, and it's like
stay tuned for the continuing story. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh my god. But yeah, I think those elements really just were really took me out of it a little bit. Okay. But there was enough of it though that, you know, to pull back, because like you guys said, every time a song came on and the inspiration behind the songs, those moments are handled so spectacularly. Mm-hmm. Bitty bitty boom boom. Oh my God. Like how great was it amazing to see that song, be, you know, come out? What do you guys think? Do you guys have any more favorite musical moments?
Pretty much all of them. Because right? Yeah. I think there's not like a bad song that they bring out. I think part of me is like, oh, I wish they talked about the time they were in that Johnny Depp movie or whatever. But that, none of that like matters. You know what I mean?
I like that movie, by the way.
Don Juan DeMarco, is that right?
DeMarco, yeah.
Yeah. They were in that. They're in the background and stuff. So for me, like none of that stuff really mattered to the story for me, because it's so much about family and the music. And mm-hmm. I kind of like that they fleshed out Yolanda's character, that she's not just an evil, nebulous, bad force. You know what I mean? Like she was a sick person and did horrible things. And to kind of flesh that out, she's not just... You know, I don't know, but, you know, I hate her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes you hate her and the fact that she's in there like wedding photos and, you know, shit like that. You're like, I hate her. I was like oh, no.
All my bridesmaids, and there she is. And I was like, what the fuck?
And I was so mad. God. I'm like, that means not only can you never, like, you can't have to deal with the fact that your sister died, you can never look at your wedding photos again, and it's all terrible. I hate everything about you.
Jennifer, favorite musical moment? Do you have one?
Mamá de Mas, obviously. I really loved the Tecnocumbia part, because it really we got so much more of the method behind the madness in this season, mm-hmm. like the instrumental part, the musical influences, and the combining of those different genres. Mm-hmm. AB was such an innovator. He was always looking forward and always looking at new things, and he was never satisfied with doing the same thing twice. He always wants to look at new stuff, and I love that. I mean, that's music inherently. It's exploration and improvisation, and I love that he was always trying to look above and beyond. So I love that they showed so much of those behind the scenes moments.
Me too.
They did really.
The Amor Prohibido moment was actually really good too, and for a different reason than I thought it would be. I liked the conversation that was happening between Chris and Selena when they were talking about that music video, and like you got to see a lot of the real, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say the one place I'm going to disagree with Frank in the agency aspect of this.
That's fine.
We have our opinions. I really thought it was refreshing that we got to see at the beginning of the season, because, you know, the end of the first season is a big moment in her life, and she makes a very definitive choice of one thing over another, and she picked her family over the romance aspect, and a lot of people in a lot of places would blame the situation for that, would blame their mm-hmm. family and would, you know, would turn it external. She made a decision and she owns it.
Right.
And she says, mm-hmm. I made this choice. I chose the family over this guy, this love, this moment. And I own that. Like, she didn't ever blame anybody else. She made the decision and she knew she made that decision. And it was mm-hmm. conscious. And I think that that spoke really highly of her values and of her dedication to her family and to this direction that she was going in. And she later made a different choice for a different reason, but she never went back on what she believed in. She just mm-hmm. moved forward. And in that forward was where she found Chris. So I thought mm-hmm. there was a lot of respect to that. And there's a lot
absolutely
of inherent strength that comes from making that kind of decision. That's a hard decision to make for anybody. And I think the fact that they honored that, I thought, was unique.
I think it's also because she was pushed to the edge at that point. And I agree with you. I think that there's no way she wouldn't have said, she wouldn't have gone against her family. That was her. So much about her loyalty. I think my problem is that I wish that they hadn't made her come across as such a people pleaser later on down the line.
She was, though.
I know. Yeah,
that's
guess,
just who she was.
She's a real
I guess, but she but she needed to, I can't think of another term other than grow a pair.
And she needed to put really on her Stevie Nicks or her Janet Jackson.
Yes, exactly. I think that the fact that the series showed, maybe for my money, just way too many instances where I thought she needed to do that and didn't. Mm. I think that's really what I had a problem with. Because
that's the thing that sucks about us losing her so early is she was just stepping into her own. She was her wind.
And I think that because we've all mythologized her in our own ways, but I never saw her. I always saw her as that way, as assertive, as a decision maker, not second guessing herself. And, that's mythologizing somebody. But at the same time, it happens. Jen, I have a question for you really, really fast. You mentioned last time that one of the things you didn't like so much was the sort of video footage of the concert, the way it was shot with like handheld camera. Was that like a really glaring aspect for you this time around, or were you more used to it? Forgiving
they
of it?
They did it a bit this time, but not as much. And right. I was glad that they didn't rely on that as heavily. It was a little more seamless. I still didn't find it to be necessary. Like it's...
It wasn't particularly charming or anything like that. It was just kind of annoying.
It's a little glaring. It takes me out of the
moment. It wasn't cinematic.
Yeah.
It wasn't cinematic by any means.
I didn't need it.
Yeah.
It was an artistic choice that they made, and I respect that that's the choice, but meh.
But having less of it was better for the second season.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Well, Jen, why don't you go ahead and roll into your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, I'm glad they did this. I had all the feels. I was alone when I watched it, and much crying happened, and not in the places I thought I was going to cry, oddly enough. Wow. It was respectful. It was beautiful. It was charming. Hello, Fleetwood Mac, in the middle of my Selena. Thank you for that. Needed it. Yes, please. Love the Janet. I thought that the lady that they had play Gloria Estefan was very strange. She was not giving me Gloria vibes at all.
Mm-mm. No, I'm like, he was like, well, you have to ask, who is she? You have to ask who the Whitney impersonator was. Like, but who is she supposed to be?
I did a little. Whitney was off for me a bit too, but less. Yeah.
Oh, really?
But Gloria was Gloria, real off. I was like, real off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, Gloria.
No, I loved how it was really about the music and the musical influences and all of the studio time. I loved that. I got major college choir and vocal lesson flashbacks with all of the vocal exercises they had her doing. That's legit. That's what you do in vocal lessons. Yep. That was some jam. I got a chuckle out of that. It was good times. So I really enjoyed this, and I enjoyed it more than the first season. Probably because of less of the very harsh cuts between the reality and like the actual footage. So I'm gonna give this 8.5 out of 10 random shots of the refinery.
It's the same refinery.
It's the same shot. It's the same shot. It's a stock shot. They just, yeah.
Yeah.
They probably use, like, it probably was 8 or 10 shots that they used throughout the entire.
Yeah, especially towards the end. I'm like, what? Yeah. It's the same day. What is happening?
Again, the same cloud.
Yep.
Harmony?
I really enjoyed this. I'm glad I sat down and watched it. The only thing that I would have, I can't even think of anything I would have really changed about it. I wish it wasn't a true story.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Then that's very hard to get past. So your kind of emotional connotations to that, where like when I grown up, not really completely knowing who she was and didn't find out more about her until after she died. But, you know, it's nice, something in honor of her.
Yeah.
I think kind of the decisions they made with the portrayal, I really liked it. Like, I felt that she was real, and I felt like she, like the actress who was portraying, was amazing. Like, I just, I could suspend disbelief long enough that,
yeah,
like this felt real to me. And, I can't fault any, you know, biopic or bio series or anything like that if it feels real. So, the video artifacts, like Jennifer saying, are kind of annoying and frustrating at times. And the refinery is silly. I was just like, there's the refinery again. But everything else I really enjoyed. So I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10 Lucky Red Lipsticks.
Hey, I think the last time I did a musical biopic, actually the last two musical biopics, I did not really enjoy it. That was Harmony, you were on both of those. I think it was...
Was I?
Yeah.
Me and you, Frank. Me and
I was
Frank.
On one of them with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, which one?
The 1970s disco one.
Oh, yeah. That was the I Am Woman.
I Am Woman, which was not as good.
Then we had the Billie Holiday one, and I think they
which is not as good.
On that one,
wasn't great.
I think, wasn't on that one.
I think what, especially the I Am Woman one did, was every time it used the its artist catalog to hide its shortcomings in terms of the screenplay, and this one didn't. I think that it really explored the creation of her catalog and all her tunes, and built genuinely moving and involving scenes around all of them. The Tecnocumbia one is, oh my God, it's just like watching her like perform it. I was like, oh my God. It's like, that's my favorite Selena song. It's really great. My problems with it are, of course, Yolanda, she comes across as a cartoon, and she was a very real threat. A very, very real threat, and the ultimate threat. And I wish that she, it came across, it was too misery for me. And I wish they had, given Selena more of a backbone during certain moments, because I thought that that's certainly who I thought she was 24/7. But I will say that I think that the insight to the industry and her climb within the industry, that was really interesting to see that the decisions that she was faced with, you need to do this tour or you can do, that album. You can't do both. You need to make a choice. And seeing her build up her career that way, I thought was really interesting. And also the interrelations between the family were just really, really, really special. And I love their bond. I love their bond so much. And I loved, there are many times throughout, I was like, wow, look at what all they built. And they did that together, and that's just me saying it to myself. I just thought it was so special. I will say, I love the way they handled her death. I thought it was not exploitative at all. I thought it was very poetically done. And because we're all dreading it. We're all dreading that moment.
That was a big concern
moment.
Of mine.
Way they did it.
Yeah.
What are they going to show us? And will we be able to take it? And it was done in a very gentle, very profound way. And as a matter of fact, I didn't cry. I felt really sad, but I didn't cry until the Dreaming of You sequence in the recording booth. and AB, and I'm getting like emotional right now thinking about it.
Cause Chris on the floor was, or on the masters,
yeah,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And because that's another favorite song. She has so many favorites. I mean, the woman is amazing. So yeah, I gotta give this 8 out of 10. Shout outs to Whataburger. Because, you know, we're in Texas and who doesn't love a good Whataburger, man? Selena did. I saw a picture of Selena mid-bite with her mouth full of Whataburger with a big old smile on her face. Yeah. Yeah.
And isn't that how we want to remember, like, people? Like, just that real and...
And their natural essence. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it's Whataburger, that's great.
That's true.